Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way. And we are thankful for another day of grace. We're thankful to bring this message to you, whether you're here worshiping with us corporately or tuning in on our website or YouTube channel or Boxcast TV. We are excited that way. Got an announcement to make next Sunday. We will be back at the Perry Police Township at 622 Genoa Avenue Southwest. That's where we gave birth to our church, and we're excited to travel back up, even though it's 65 miles one way. But we're going to go up and edify with the saints, and got some souls there that just eager and willing to get back in with the program. Due to COVID last year, it shut us down for 17 months. We couldn't meet there. And they just opened it back up and they offered it to us. So we're going to try. I know there's not a signal there or as far as Wi-Fi, but I think we can hotspot my phone, and we use an iPad to bring this message to you again live. So we're looking forward to seeing the saints. It's a little, we'll start fellowship at 9:30, and by 10 o'clock we'll be on with the Bible time as usual. So that's exciting. Keep that in thought and prayer. I know that this morning when I mentioned about you will come to church, there's a lady down in northern Kentucky, southern Ohio, that don't have a Grace Church to meet. And that kind of makes my heart sadden, because it's easy to start one, if you will. Well, it might not be easy for some, but you got to have teachers, and you got to have people willing to step up and be there. And that's why I guess the internet in all reality is a helpful tool for those that can't assemble themselves. I prefer you much drive to come see us, but it's still a haul. And if this is your alternative, then please tune in and visit us here. I don't suggest going to denominational churches because you're not going to be fed. And so that's a struggle out there when there's millions and millions and millions and millions of people out there in religious denomination that will not magnify Paul's office or rightly divide the word of truth or use the King James Bible. So that's very, very important to me. And what I stand for and what the Bible says. And you know, God is right, we're wrong. Yeah. That settles it. So that's something you have to a battle goes on, because you know, everybody wants fellowship, everybody wants compassion and friends and all, but you know, if you don't draw a line with what God says, then are they really your friends? You know, I watch people when you go to witness people or you talk about Jesus Christ, you can talk to a lost person about God and they're going to turn right around you and tell you what God is or who they, and they won't even refer to God in the Bible. And so there's a battle always out there. And in this world we live in, things are going on so fast and so crazy, and your mind can get wrapped up in political or just financial, or whatever the case may be. And I hate listening to news. There's no news. So if you turn it off and get in the Word and realize that, hey, the God of this world runs this world, and it's not getting better. And the things that we're doing has been done out there, the persecution and stuff that goes on, and the things they take away from you, it's nothing uncommon in this world. So we are thankful that we have another day, and we're going to continue to proclaim the good news, whether we go up into the police community room and now they're talking about another virus type of thing and people's scared and all this stuff. I said, look, we'll go under a tree. You know, we'll meet somewhere. And that's where we're at right now. So keep that in thought and prayer. Keep the things that we're doing. Keep the brothers and sisters who are proclaiming this good news that are out there all throughout the whole world. So we're excited that we have a message of grace and a Bible to preach it from. And the only gospel that saves you today is that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. And you trust that. He places you into a body, and there he circumcises you. He baptizes you. He places you into him. And that's where we need to be. And in our thoughts and minds, and that makes a difference when you look at the world out there today. Listen, people ask me, how you doing? You know, how, I said, I'm doing good. You know, life is good. And you think about, wow, I never thought about how, you know, you could have be looking for a job. Life is still good. You know, you could be, you know, have ailments in your body with the sin-cursed world that we're in. And you could be have sicknesses. But life is good, you know, in Christ. And when you're in Christ, it makes a world of difference. Amen? Amen. So keep that in thought and prayer as we continue to proclaim the good news, the gospel, the grace of God. We did target about, I think, a 40 or 50 mile radius of Massillon, Canton area. And if you're part of the Grace School of the Bible newsletter, a mailing list, you will receive a little flyer about our church and what we stand for and all. And then next week, we'll probably do a message about our doctrinal statement or welcome back home type of thing. And so it'd be exciting to just to renew our mind with where we're at, what we stand for, and all. So let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. We ask as we think about our travels and the saints that we'll be ministering to in the Canton Massillon area and beyond, that they'll continue to grow and the eagerness to know how special this message is, how important the ministry is, and to the local church and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 17. If you'd be turning to Matthew chapter 4, we was talking about some things. Yes, last lesson, I was going to say yesterday. Mm-hmm. It seems like yesterday. Had a good week, by the way. And we was talking about the messages that John the Baptist had. And he was preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. And we went over some of these verses last week, but I'm going to go over them again a little bit. And the identical message that John was preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ preached. Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases among the people. Now the message is what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that good news, gospel means good news, and that good news is the gospel of the kingdom in times past. And the gospel of the kingdom, has to do with the call of the nation Israel to repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You got to remember, in times past, God chose the nation Israel, all the nations, the nation Israel, he chose to be his child, to be his firstborn, and he was going to nurture it, and they're going to rise up and grow up in maturity and be a light into the world for us Gentiles. Well, how'd that work out? Not too good. We know that. But anyway, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. So that good news of that gospel kingdom, John the Baptist comes on the scene, Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and he says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and etc., etc. And he goes on and talks about who is going to get the kingdom, and this is better known as chapters 5, 6, 7 of Matthew is better known as the Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of the kingdom, if you will. See, they even had a constitution that they should stand by. And Christ was talking about a coming kingdom and what the citizens of that kingdom are going to be like and who they will be. It's just not anybody. When they get in that kingdom over here, you think they're going to have a bunch of heathen, non-believing Gentiles or Jews over there? No. This is getting them prepared for a kingdom and the things he had to do. Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's not preaching the gospel of the grace of God that is given out today. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when they saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's not good, is it? Then saith he upon his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He's preparing the 12, he's preparing the disciples to go out to be apostles so they can go out and get those people. Not for us, but for them. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them powers against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. And he lists them. Here's his laborers. Okay, you saw what he said. He need laborers. So here's his laborers to go out. And you notice in verse 1, he called them disciples, but in verse 2, he calls them apostles. This is where they're separated out from amongst the others, and they're ordained as apostles to do... Well, that's what apostles mean, by the way. God sent ones. So he's sending them out. And the laborers would train and lead Israel to proclamation to the gospel of the kingdom. See how all this is lining up there. It's not telling us to go out and be laborers for a kingdom. You know, a lot of ministries are built on that, aren't they? Yeah. And they go out throughout the world. You know, if they was going out throughout the world teaching the gospel of the grace of God, I would support that. You know, if they was in their hometown, in their churches, preaching the gospel of the grace of God in a distinct ministry, what Paul the Apostle is doing in the body of Christ today in the mystery program, I would support that. But they don't. So he says, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and command them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. What? You mean to tell me Jesus Christ said not to go into the Gentiles? That would be me in times past. You know, I'm out here serving other gods, basically, you know what I mean? But if I wanted to hear the good news, we already went through the fact that a Gentile in times past could be saved, but he had to go through Israel's program. And into any city of the Samaritans enter not, ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrips for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staff, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So when he's out there doing a job, guess what? He's going to get those things, ain't he? Mm-hmm. It's not that God's going to miraculously give it to them. They're going to have to work for it. You know, many of us grace churches, we don't have a lot of people in them. And we shouldn't have a lot of debt. And stuff, but the thing is, you like if you preach in the word, you are do double honor, you know, that type of thing. But I don't have a Cadillac. Yeah, I used to say when we was living up in Massillon, I was like, my driveway ain't paved. I don't have a Cadillac. I don't have an airplane, that type of thing. But we have learned over the years, spend and be gladly spent. I'm not going to be charged none of you. Paul was a tent maker. You know, this grace message, a lot of us have to have second jobs. That type of thing. But, you know, there's some that don't, and praise God for them. They got a little bit bigger churches than Noah had, you know, that type of thing. So if he can do it, you can do it. But there's a different than what the people today professes about, you know, let's heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, and what?
Prosper.
Pass the offering plate. you know, you give $100, you're going to be give back tenfold. I'm like, wait a minute. If I give you my $100, my lights gets cuts off. What am I supposed to do? So anyway, you think about those things like that. Matthew 10:22 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." The man that endures to the end will be saved into this kingdom over here. That's what this thing is about. Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as the king, talking about a kingdom. That's future over there, not what's going on today. Verse 23, "But when they prosecute you in this city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come." They're supposed to go out, aren't they? They prosecute you, kick you out, go to the next city, and they keep moving that way. Many of us don't do that. But that second advent, the whole program is carried out in the view of the coming tribulation. And the second advent of Jesus Christ over here is coming to set up this kingdom in ages to come. And the whole thing has to do with a time period, what we call what? Ages to come. Mm-hmm. But times pass, but now what God is doing, Romans through Philemon, and ages to come, Hebrews through Revelation. Those three things right there will make a world of difference in your Bible study. If you just understand those three divisions in the twofold mystery, prophecy and mystery, okay? And that's very, very important. You need to understand that there came a time in Jesus Christ's earthly ministries that he would change the tactics. And he was preaching in all the cities and teaching in the synagogues and healing everybody publicly and calling them to repent. That's what the king gospel message was: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. However, there comes a time when he changes his tactics. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they what? Repented not." We looked at that last time about unbraiding. He just went up, he just left them, unbraided it. You know, I'm thinking something braided. You ever try to unbraid them? It takes some time, don't it? Upbraid, okay. Not unbraid, sorry. Upbraid. Just take it up. I think about pulling it up by the roots and moving on. You know, because they're not repentant. That type of thing. "Christ preached and healed the sick and raised the dead and called them to the repentance all publicly. The reaction was, praise God, the Messiah was here. No, the nation of Israel rejected him. They did not repent. And at the very same time, they were refusing to repent. Matthew 11, verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." He's giving it to who? Babes. Okay? He's not giving it that wise, to professing himself to be wise. Okay? The religious rulers of the earth. You know, we should thank God that for them and for us. The majority of the nation and its leaders did not get it. And there was a minority of babes from within that nation and understood and believed, and they were known as the little flock. But the leaders of that nation did not accept this, and they responded. Their response they do give is this. Chapter 12, verse 13 of Matthew. Here is a brilliant response of these leaders out there, that when the news come to them, here's what they said. Verse 13. "Then saith he to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the others." Now there is a miracle showing the power of Christ to restore the hand of the service of Israel. That's what it's all about. Israel's hands withered up. They're not doing the servants of God. So he's going to restore the nation Israel so their hand would be out there. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is a hand, and showing what there will be. But the response is the following manner. Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsels against him, how they might what? Destroy him. Now, here's a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, out there doing miracles, wonders, and letting them know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that was prophesied, that was promised way back over here, it's here. But man, you mess with these religious leaders and stuff like that, much like political leaders, and when it comes to money and power and stuff, they will cut you off. You know, they will destroy you, and they destroy him. And this is the first time that that a stated plot to kill Jesus Christ right here. And what does Christ do in response to it? Verse 15, Matthew 12, 15 and 16. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should what? Not make him known. Now here he is out there as a prophet, okay, and doing what God told him to do. But he says when they plotted to kill him, what did he do? I'll heal you, stuff, but don't make this known. He begins to withdraw himself from the multitudes and confine himself to a small group of believers. And he began to de-emphasize his public ministry. His public offer to identify himself. We find the emphasis three times in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to what? Eat. At that time refers back to chapter 11. When they were rejecting him and refusing to believe. He went out and plucked the corn, and the Pharisees raised a stink about the issue that Christ was violating their traditions. However, look at what verse 6 tells them. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than what? The temple. Who ministers in the temple? But also they got a name, a priest, okay? And he told them there's one greater than the priest and a greater than the temple in itself. And he's right there. And he is the great high priest. And you know what? They don't recognize him, do they? They reject him. Verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. You remember that? Remember when Jonah was on a boat and God told him, you're going over to this Nineveh, these Gentiles, and preach to them. He didn't want to do that. He fought and that storm raging and stuff like that. And he fought and these people were like, what in the world's going on? And he realized, he said, it's me. I'm refusing. What'd they do to him? You know, he gets in a whale. Well, spews him out, and he comes on that thing looking like God, the Spirit of God on him, and Nineveh's like, whoa, praise God, we're with you, that type of thing. The men of Nineveh heard one sermon from Jonah, and they repented, but you know how it had been listening to him preach for years, doing miracles all over, and you won't believe me? That's what Jesus Christ is saying. 3 years he was doing that. A prophet greater than Jonah. Verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So you know what that just did? You had the greater than a priest in the temple in the Sabbath day, the greater prophet than Jonah, and the greater king. You know, yet they rejected him right there. And, you know, that probably, if you think about it, have you ever talked to people about some things that they may be doing? Now, we're not judging people. I can't judge your soul. but we can judge each other's actions. And they kind of stepped on their toes, and you're like, hey, there's one mightier than that guy you call father in that church. There's one mightier than a prophet that you want to call Muhammad. There's one better than a king of any king of the nations you can be. It's Jesus Christ. And they're like, you know, they try to find things and start rebuking you and stuff like that. They rejected him right there. And in this part of his ministry, things begin to change. Israel's rejection of Christ begins to be recognized. And they had the message offered to them, didn't they? But they were what? Rejected it. His response to their rejection is to withdraw himself and to begin to train a little flock, a little group of believers, in the view that the fact that he's going to go to the cross and die. Now, this is strange to their ears now. Wait a minute, you're telling us about a kingdom, kingdom's a hand, you're the king, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, now you're going to the cross and die. And he begins to teach them in parables. See, now parables is still hard to understand for some people, aren't it? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's definitely hard to understand for the religious leaders. And he teaches in parables so the multitudes can't understand, but the little flocks can. And he hides it from the unbelievers, the multitudes, and as he trains a little flock of believers. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed thou art thou, Simon of Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father has, which was my Father which is in heaven. So he got a revelation for God the Father. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock, upon the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is the Messiah of Israel. That's what he just true. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not Peter that they built that church upon.
Right.
And I'm going to ask you something. What's Rome all about, the Vatican's all about? About what Peter holding the keys? And there's really no true evidence that Simon Barjona, Peter, never been to Rome. There was a Simon Peter went there, but he wasn't this Simon Peter. Another thing, what do they call the Vatican? The holy city. There's only one holy city, Jerusalem. So all this fake religion out there, I'm not picking up on one religion. I'm just telling you what's going on out there. Which church is he going to build? The church on Peter? The Catholic church? No. The universal church? No. A Messiah's church. What church is that? Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom church. And whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall bind in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. There is a called out assembly of people from the nation of Israel. A called out remnant of believers that come out and identify together through water baptism. Okay, that's another big thing, ain't it? A remnant.
Small piece of something.
And who was it? Me and Morris was talking about remnants and how God always seemed like he would work through remnants, little pockets of believers. And he saved 7,000 not bow down to Baal. So don't be distraught and distressed and worried and anxious with what's going on out here. God will preserve his word, and he has for generations and generations. Yeah. He will preserve, until the body of Christ is taken out of here, there will be a remnant of believers, whether we have to go underground to meet or whatever. We're going to continue to proclaim the good news. Now, sad thing about that is, if they come knocking on your door and drag you, your wife out there, your husband out there, your kids out there, and say, if you preach Jesus Christ, it's again, a lot of people might stop. You know, a lot of my people say, you know, I'm worried about my family and stuff. But as you look through history, a lot of people didn't. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to you is do what's right in God's word. He's with you always.
Amen.
And the fact is calling you out, the small remnant. We was talking about remnants and talking about my dad used to sell conveyor belting. And he used to take record slings. Record slings, something many of you probably never seen or heard of before. Many of my age has, because I used to cut them out. But an old record truck would come out with the black straps on it. That's slings. And they would be made out of conveyor belting. Well, he had a count that they want like 500 at a time, 700 at a time, that type of thing. Well, you wouldn't go out and buy, and it had to be new, you wouldn't go out and buy, you know, a 300-foot roll of 42-inch belt if you only need 150 slings. So the people would have remnants because somebody just needed 100 feet off that or 200 feet off that, and they had a 50-foot roll that they didn't use. That 50-foot roll was just as good as the bigger part, but that was more profitable to my dad at the time than buying a big roll. So when you think about remnants, remnant of the carpet, I only got a 3x5 foot. I don't need an 8-foot, 100-foot roll of carpet. Now, I got a project going on, and it's sitting outside this door out there, and it's a pontoon boat, and I stripped off the carpet on there. I went by a carpet man down here, Ross. Hello, Ross, if you're listening. And he showed me this what we can do, and I seen his mind working. Well, you know, we might have a piece of this here, and we might have a piece. And he's thinking, first he asked me, how big you need it? You know, all I need is an 8-foot by 17 foot. That might be an odd size because it may come in 10 foot by 50 foot, that type of thing. So do I need that much carpet? No, unless you want to double it and make it plush. No, but anyway, you don't do that. It's a remnant. It's profitable. But these are there are specific reasons why they were water baptized. And water baptism has to do with preparing the priest to function in the office of a priesthood. Israel was created for the purpose of being a kingdom of priests. Right over here, Exodus 19, Isaiah 61, 1 Peter 2:9. All this has to do with them being a kingdom of priests over here. You don't have kingdoms of priests today. God's not doing a kingdom. Paul don't talk about that in the dispensation of grace. And in order for a priest to function, first he had to be ceremonial cleansed from his uncleanness. And Israel had to be baptized with water to cleanse their filthiness of idolatry, and they must be anointed with oil with the regeneration provided in the new covenant over there. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. They was anointed with the Holy Spirit, the oil, and God is preparing that apostate nation, a believer remnant, who will function in the kingdom. He just didn't give that to everybody in that religious world. They done rejected him. So that little flock right here, that's why water baptism, when John the Baptist came on the scene over here, and Jesus Christ was baptized of him. Jesus Christ didn't have full of filthiness and unrighteousness with him. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was baptized of John to get in that priesthood. Okay, that's when his priesthood started. Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Whoa. He's withdrawing from that whole nation. He's telling that little flock, I'm going to prepare you, this new generation, this new flock. And now you see what he's trying to convert. Well, he's not trying to convert the nation anymore. He's withdrawn from the nation Israel. That's who he came for. And he has drawn back and taken the believers and with him, and he's going to train them. He took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration and seen the kingdom of glory. And they seen the glory of his coming, etc. Matthew chapter 17, verse 9 says, and they came down from the mountain, and Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So they ain't going to tell him what Jesus Christ saw. They ain't going to tell him that the glory that they saw. And notice that he begins to tell him in chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how they must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. This is something new to them. And they don't know anything about the fact that he's going to die until Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. They're completely in the dark and about that until that time. At that point, he began to tell them. If you begin to tell them at one point, it means you were not telling them all along. Okay? That's what purpose of this mystery program that was hid in Christ. It was not made known until Paul. And the gospel of the kingdom is not the same gospel you and I preach today and teach. Our message is calling the preaching of the cross to them who perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. That's what we do. We preach the cross. We don't preach no kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Though he began to tell them about those things, he instructed them not to tell anyone about it until after the Son of Man is raised from the dead. You know, he de-emphasizes the offer of the public demonstration who he was. He was out there in public, wasn't he? He de-emphasized his messianic office. Don't tell him who I am. Mm-hmm. And he de-emphasized his glory as they saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the whole point of this, from this point onward in his life, he is no longer on the way to the throne, but going where? To the cross. He begins to withdraw himself. He's on his way to the tree here, and the sufferings and the glory to follow. He started telling them about the glory, and they rejected him, didn't he? And it. Then he backed up and said, okay, you rejected me? And now I'm going to the cross and suffer in order to pay for that rejection. So that part of his ministry is conducted in light of the fact that he is on his way to Calvary. This is why he withdrew himself. Luke chapter... Verse 28. And it came to pass about an eight days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up in the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They were up on the mountain of transfiguration, talking about the kingdom glory, and he will have when he comes over here. And yet he was talking about his death that it would accomplish at Jerusalem. And why would they talk about him, about the death, while demonstrating his glory? Well, 1 Peter talks about the sufferings and glories that shall follow. And this is what the prophets spoke about. This is what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, 10, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You got to remember what we were talking about, enduring until the end shall be saved. The scriptures referring to Israel's future salvation when Christ comes. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesies of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets back in time past have prophesied about a salvation and kingdom when they prophesied about and searched and inquired. Verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Searching what? And what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. First, they don't understand what he's writing when they write. Secondly, they don't understand the timing of it. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow, unto whom to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, did they minister the things which are now reported unto you. Talking about little flock. The whole point is the prophets back there prophesied about a throne. They also talked about the sufferings, but it wasn't clear the sufferings were and would be a timely between the two. And when Christ came along, he talks about the glory. Israel's rejected him by rejecting him. And then Christ begins to tell that since they rejected him, they would have to pay, a payment had to be paid, then in order to get them out of that wrath. Remember, John the Baptist says, who warned you for the wrath, you untoward generation, who hath warned you from the wrath to come? Well, he did. And Jesus Christ did. And that would be the cross, the tree of Calvary. He also explains the timing. Luke chapter 9. Seems like I'm going about 900 miles an hour. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to work, Jerusalem. Verse 53. And they did not receive him, because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? Verse 31 back there, he says, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he shall accomplish at Jerusalem. He understands that now he's on the way to the tree to die. He starts to train his little flock of believers to carry that ministry on in his absence. And it's critical to understanding of what is going on during the time period to understand the training and ministry of the little flock. The whole issue during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the formation of the believing remnant in Israel to identify as the little flock. In the following verses, he is talking to the elders and rulers of Israel. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and led it out to husbandry and went into a far country. Now, Isaiah chapter 5 identifies the vineyard as the nation Israel. And the vine tree is a picture of the national life of Israel. Remember what the olive tree was? The spiritual life of Israel. Remember what the fig tree was? The religious life of Israel. And the vine represents Israel as a nation. But there also was a bramble bush, a bramble tree. And that's the apostated Israel. And that's who was running the show when Jesus Christ lined up. You know, Brother Greg mentioned about a defiant man a couple weeks ago in a conference was at, and how they took fig trees, you know, fig leaves, and sewed aprons. You know what happens to a tree leaf after you pluck it? They never experienced that. They never experienced death in a garden. But I'm thinking every time that leaf dried up, they had to pluck another one and keep that religion on them to cover them up. Don't be religious, guys. Religious is just return to bondage. It's bad. The hedge it round about, he put up a middle wall partition, setting Israel aside from the nations, with S, and separated them unto himself. That's my child. And digged a wine press in it, and he's going to get fruit from that vineyard. And the purpose of the nation is to bring forth fruit unto God. And he built a tower. That tower in scriptures represents religion. Remember the Tower of Babel? They was taking a tower to heaven, up in the stars, to be up there in their own religion above all gods. And the only religion God ever established in all human history, he gave it to the nation Israel. Nobody else. But there's all kinds of counterfeiters out there, aren't they? And he led it out to a husbandry and went into a far country. The husbandmen are the leaders of Israel. And the leaders were to go out and tend a vineyard and bring forth fruit to be stored in the tower. Matthew 21, verse 34. We might get through this. What did I say?
34.
And when the time, verse 34, but when the time of the fruit drew near, he, God the Father, sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent another servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandman saw the son and said among them, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, let us seize on his inheritance. They caught him, and they cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard come, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto another husbandman, which shall render him the fruits in their what? Verse 42. You see what's going on there? They realize, something's wrong here. Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders reject, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, the leaders of Israel, that's who he talked to, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits, given to a what? Not nations, nation. And bring forth fruit thereof, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of what?
Them.
They got the message there. Mm-hmm. The nation will bring forth fruit is not the Gentiles. There's still a wall there. We're not included there. If it were the Gentiles, it would say nations. What one nation? The singular. Among the Gentiles did he give the kingdom to?
Israel.
He gave it to the nation Israel, yes. And he's talking about forming a new nation in that nation. Forming a believing nation and in that apostate nation. Taking a remnant out of that big old roll. Okay? And taking that remnant and giving it. That's why he says right here, it's my Father's good pleasure to give to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 31, 32. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock. For is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Can you imagine that? Here they are, a group of following, a handful of people following Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden he turns to them, and they've been under that rulership all their life. He turns to them and say, it's my Father's pleasure to give to you. And they're probably like, what? What did Jesus lay on me? And I'm thinking about that. A lot of people do that. They said, we want to give you this manager job. And you're like, what? And you've been working under them, and they know what you can do. God, the Holy Spirit's going to be with these guys. It's not like he's leaving them. Mm-hmm. He leaves them physically, though, right? He was gathering together the remnant. He called them a little flock. Judgment of tribulation will destroy and purge out the rebels and unbeliever, and only even over here. This wrath that's going to be poured out, they're going to be burned and all that stuff. And it's going to purge that nation, and only a true remnant is going to go through there. Luke chapter 7, verse 29. And all the people that heard him, John the Baptist, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected counsel of God against them, being not baptized of him. That's how they rejected God the Father, God. The word of God came and said, repent. Repent means to change your mind. And how would you express your faith? How would you demonstrate that you believe God was right? In that situation, they was what? Water baptized. Because it was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It was the baptism that demonstrate their change of their mind and cleanse them from idolatry. Why is that important? You washed a priest and anointed him before he goes into the office of the ministry. That's Exodus 20:29 when they cleanse that stuff. These people were going to be called a royal priesthood, a royal nation over here, a holy nation. And they have to be. That ain't got to do nothing with you, me and you. We're not a holy nation, okay? We're members of the body of Christ. And he separated them and set them apart, and they separated themselves apart from that apostate nation with the cleansing waters of John the Baptist after confessing their sins. Those religious leaders rejected God. Does that sound familiar? What's going on today, you know, even in the political realm? People's rejecting the truth. In that way, they prepare themselves to function as the kingdom of priests. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's over there. There will be a regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory. Though in those books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God through Jesus Christ has established that government of his kingdom to come. Not now, to come. The 12 apostles will lead the 12 tribes of Israel. 19:12. And he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Lord Jesus Christ goes away into heaven and receives the kingdom of God the Father, as Daniel 13 reveals to us. Verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. He's going away to get his kingdom, and then he's going to return with the kingdom. While he is gone, his servants on this earth will take care of the vineyard till he returns. And he called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. He's going away until he returns. And when he's gone, he will leave the servants to take care of his vineyard, right? Now, did I just say that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. You know, Stephen was one of those servants. By killing him, the leaders were telling God in their reaction that they didn't want anything to do with him. And what they do to him? They killed him. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had to gain by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thou pound hast gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. It's that little flock that he leaves the occupied till I come. And they were faithful. And when he comes, he will set up a government in the kingdom, reigning over the earth. And that is the mechanics of how the saints of the Most High God shall possess the kingdom. Now, the issue back there in the Gospels, that is that why everything that is done back there has done with a program in mind. It wasn't just, you know, let's change this, change that, ever wins the doctrines. That's why water baptism is there. That's why healing ministries is there, teaching ministries and all the rest. That it is all has to do with the kingdom program and the preparation of the little flock that will govern over here in ages to come. Therefore, when you're reading these books, you have to understand that Christ, they're presenting Christ to Israel as their Messiah. And it's Christ carrying on the program to form the little flock of believers. Acts tells you all about this stuff when you get over here. But the thing is, in closing, that today, God's not forming a nation, he's forming a body, which he is a head. And when you get in that body by trusting Christ died for your sins, burying, rose again, he places you in a body, he baptizes you, he circumcises you, he's made you whole spiritually. You know, you have all spiritual blessings right now. And all means all. There's nothing more you can add to his spiritual blessing that he hasn't already gave you. And that's where our mindset should be, focusing the heavenly program, what God, this earth is not our home. Israel's earth was the home. That's why they didn't want to leave it. So when you think about that, when we continue to study and dispensational recognition of progressive revelation, you got to understand what even the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry had to pertain with what God was doing on this earth. And but in the dispensation of grace of God, it's what he's done in the heavenly program. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to help out with the ministry here, we do have some bills and things like that we like to do as far as broad box casting and our internet ministries and all. You can go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. And there's a donut. I say that all the time. Big donut hole. And you hit that right in the middle. Maybe I need to put a donut hole there. Yeah, that's what I might do.
Hit the donut
and donate. And whatever you can do, it greatly appreciated. Or you can call, write us for some encouragement and all. But we are on our YouTube channel, Dispensational Bible Church. If you subscribe to that, you'll get notifications when they pop up whenever we're going on. And the Boxcast app, you can download the Boxcast app and put it on Apple TV, Roku TV, or even on your telephone. You can watch it live there. But next week we'll be in Massillon, Ohio, Canton area, Stark County, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys there.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Amen.